comfort in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 2,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows torn. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tie. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his side. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I will safely reach the goal.
Is that how you feel tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Good to be in service again together. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. Brother Joe and Sister Becky Houdeshell, they're traveling home, so I want to remember them for traveling mercies. And then also Brother Arnie Bird, he's not feeling well this evening. I want to remember him in prayer. Brother Joshua Johnson, not feeling well. I want to remember him in prayer as well. I believe Brother Scott Maddie had to have appendix surgery, is that correct? And I want to remember him in prayer for recovery from that. And Sister Patty Hansel, she's scheduled for a kidney stone surgery tomorrow, so I want to remember her in prayer. I want to continue to remember her dad, Brother Ivan Milby, for continued recovery from his injuries. And then Sister Joanne Beletka requested prayer for her niece, Sister Monica Card, just for complete healing. So we want to remember that situation as well. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to approach your throne once again, Lord, with our precious needs that we can lay before you, knowing, Lord, that you'll move upon each and every one. Father, we have many, but Lord, your hand's not too short to reach to us. And Lord, as we look up to you, Father, we know that it's already done. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this place that you've given us to come and worship you in spirit and truth. Father, this little bride is gathered here together tonight to hear your word. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak the word to our hearts, Lord, and that we would grow closer to you, Lord. And, Father, we just want to give you praise and glory for each and everything that you're doing for us, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we ask you to move upon each and every request, Lord. Each hand that went up, Lord, you see what's below the heart, Lord. Father, I have needs. My wife has needs. And Father, we just set them before you, knowing that, Lord, that you're going to move upon them. And Lord, just bring in those that are lost and undone, Lord. We know time is growing short. And Father, there's many needs, but Father, you're a gracious God, and we're looking for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. If the brothers would come at this time.
Well, I once was lost in sin, but my Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, it bathed my heart in love. Then he wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. So let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn him, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk. Jesus makes it right. Well, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears, but my Jesus is a friend, watches day and night. I can go to him in prayer, for he knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. So let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears, but my Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Church, I can go to him in prayer, for he knows my every care. And then just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. So let us have a little talk with Jesus. Want to tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn him, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk. Oh, let's stand and sing it together tonight. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. And then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you will know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Turn around, shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. Up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that my Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please, I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory today. Well, I told Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today. happiness is mine. Yes, happiness is mine. Real happiness today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind. Happiness today is mine. Oh, and peace is mine. Yes, peace is mine. His peace today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, 'cause peace today is mine. Well, when you wake up in the morning, friend, don't have a doubt, 'cause I know that the Lord will bring you out. Oh, you just get down on your knees. You say, Lord, if you please, then you'll raise up, shout, praise and victory. Oh, you'll say, victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Well, I told Satan, oh, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. And joy is mine. Yes, joy is mine. Joy today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, 'cause joy today is mine. What about the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. Oh, the Holy Ghost today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, the Holy Ghost today is mine. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have to doubt, I knew that my Lord would bring me out. Oh, so I got down on my knees, I said, Lord, if you'll please. Then I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, 'cause victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today. Oh, one more time together. Yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Well, I told Satan, just get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine.
Amen. If you didn't have it when you came in, I believe you can have it when you go out. Amen. God bless you tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21, if you turn with me tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21, and want to begin with verse 17. And just read a couple of verses here before you're seated. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to approach your throne again tonight, I just ask that you'd be with us, Lord. May you just be in this service. Lord, may you move any way that you see fit, Father. Lord, we come before you tonight. And Lord, no doubt there are many needs represented here, but Lord, you know about each one. You knew about us, Lord, before the foundation of the world. You knew what our names would be. You knew what our addresses would be. You knew what our need would be. Lord, you knew where we would be sitting at tonight, Father. Lord, I just ask you to come down our way again tonight. Lord, just be with us in this service. Lord, may you just encourage hearts, Lord. May you speak to needs. Lord, may you just move it, maybe in an unexpected way, but however you would see fit, Father. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We find the story tonight, picking back up where we left off with Elijah. And we've been looking at this thought of speak the word for some time. And in the story tonight, where we pick up in the scripture, there was a man named Naboth that had a vineyard that was connected to Ahab's property. And Ahab decided that he wanted this vineyard. And he goes out and he makes an offer to Naboth. He said, well, he said, you can either sell it to me for the price that it's worth, or, you know, I'll go ahead and find you a better vineyard that you can have. But it was just kind of convenient for Ahab. And so he wanted to take this vineyard. And when he makes this offer to Naboth, Naboth tells him, he said, far be it unto me to sell my possessions that was my inheritance from my fathers. And many times the devil will do that same thing. He'll try to come right in among us and he'll try to rob us of our possessions. Maybe it's not a vineyard. Maybe it's not a piece of land. Maybe it's some joy or some peace, or maybe it's some victory as we sang about tonight. But whenever he comes in and tries to make a deal with you, you just remember who you're talking to. And then you don't have to give up any of the possessions that your daddy gave you. And Naboth, he begins to tell Ahab, he said, I don't care how much you offer me or what you want to trade me. He said, this is my inheritance from my daddy, and I'm not going to trade it. So Ahab, like a little spoiled brat, he goes in, he lays on his bed. You can go and read it earlier in 1 Kings chapter 21 there if you want when you get home. And he turns over in his bed. He said, I'm not going to eat or drink or do anything, because he was just so upset. He was used to getting his way. Oh, my, that's like many of us, isn't it? Used to getting our way. And then when God doesn't give us our way, we're going to suck our thumb and pout. And, you know, that we're as human beings and in this Laodicean age that we live in, we're used to getting our way. We have a lot of problems that are, we call them first world problems. You know, our cell phone won't power up, or the car battery needs to be changed, or something like that. We get so upset when people in foreign countries, third world countries and things, they can't even imagine what those kind of problems are like. They're just worried about trying to find some food somewhere, or find some clothing for their children. But we get spoiled sometimes like Ahab if we're not careful. And so Jezebel, his little heathen wife, comes in and she begins to look at him. She said, oh, what's wrong, honey? You know, and he says, oh, my, I want this vineyard and I can't have it. So she goes in and she sits and she writes out a letter to some of the inhabitants there in Ahab's name and seals it with Ahab's ring and says to bring up some false witnesses against Naboth and tell the people before the judges that he's blasphemed against God and against the king. And so they go and they do this, and when they do this, they take him and they stone him and kill him, and the dogs come and lick his blood there where they stoned him at. And we find out that, you know, the Lord didn't just turn a blind eye to this, but the Lord looked down and he saw what was taking place, and he goes and he tells Elijah, he said, you go tell Ahab that I saw what happened. And that the blood of righteous Naboth, no doubt it was crying unto him out of the ground like Cain's was, or like Abel rather. And when he asked Cain, he said, where's your brother? And he said, well, I'm my brother's keeper. But he said, all the blood of righteous Abel is crying to me out of the ground. And now Naboth, this righteous man that hadn't done anything, yet he was accused of doing these things. When they go in and they take him and they bring him out before the people and they stone him just because the king didn't get his way. And we find that the prophecy comes forth from Elijah and says, just as the dogs lick Naboth's blood, so will they lick your blood. Now we're going to fast forward a little bit and we're going to kind of go back and forth. We're not going to finish up with Elijah tonight, but we're going to actually fast forward a little bit to some other prophets tonight. We find after Elijah had gone and went to glory in a chariot of fire, he'd anointed Elisha. And I don't know, Brother Branham never really clarifies, and neither does the Bible, why Elisha didn't bring this message to the king. But we find that there was another prophet by the name of Micah in the land during the times there around the time of Elisha. And we find out that in the days of Ahab, after Elijah has already taken a chariot up into heaven, that the king got the people together and he said, you know, you remember that Ramoth Gilead is ours. It's part of our inheritance.
And why don't we go and take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? Because it's our possession. This is part of our inheritance that Moses had said that the children of Israel would have. And it's our rightful place to go and get it. And he goes and he consults with Jehoshaphat. He said, would you come up with me and fight with me? And Jehoshaphat said, well, you just consider my horses as your horses and my chariots as your chariots and my people as your people. We'll go and fight together. But he said, I think we forgot something, haven't we? Maybe we should go and consult the Lord before we go and do this. Elisha said that he was a righteous man. Remember when Ahab's son was there and came and called for Elisha to come and help him and give him a prophecy. Elisha said, you know what? If it wasn't for the presence of this righteous Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you or speak to you. But Jehoshaphat, being a righteous man, having his priorities a little more straight than Ahab, he says, before we go and we do this, yes, the land is ours, but maybe we should go and consult before the Lord. And so he goes and they begin to consult before the Lord, and 400 prophets get together and say, oh yes, we'll go on up to Ramoth Gilead and take it. And Zedekiah, one of them, he gets these horns made out of iron. He said, thus saith the Lord, with these horns we're going to go and we're going to take this land. And it sounded good. And it looked good. And they had a portion of the word that said that this land was theirs. And they were trying to hold on to that. But you remember, Brother Branham tells us when we're going to go to do something, he said there's 5 musts that we have to consider. You might find something and say, well, it's in the word, it's in the message, that's wonderful, but is it the right time? Are you the right person to do it? Many times we leave off some of this, and Ahab had done this. He looks and he sees that the land is theirs in the word, and he says, I'm just going to go and possess it. But the condition that Ahab was in, he wasn't the person to go and possess this land. But yet he's going to go ahead anyhow. And he gets these prophets together, and oh my, he gets them all. They get all excited and they begin to prophesy and all. You know, sometimes just because it looks good doesn't mean that it's right. And so it looked real good, but Jehoshaphat said, you know, there's something about it. He said, isn't there just one more? And he said, oh my, there's Micah, the son of Imla, but said, I hate him. He's always prophesying something negative about me. He liked more of these, you know, some of these mega church pastor type ministries that always was saying something good and patting him on the back. And oh my, what a good job you did, Ahab. And oh, how we appreciate you and the first lady Jezebel. And oh, we just love you, Ahab. And you're doing a wonderful job. And God is with you. And oh my, this land is ours. He liked that type of a ministry. But when it came to something that was going to tear the hide off of him and telling him he was wrong and his wife was wrong and his family was wrong and they needed to get back on in speaking terms with God, they didn't like that too much. You know, there's still a lot of people even around the message like that today. Oh, just as Brother Bram said, they called him Pentecostal cats. He said he had that vision. He said as long as he was rubbing that cat the right way, oh, it said Pentecostal kitty on its collar. And he said, oh, as long as he was rubbing it the right way, it just purring and happy. And he said, the Lord told him, said, rub it back the other way one time. He said, when it did, it began to hiss and snarl and show its fangs and raise up and spit at him and everything. He said, oh my, that's about like some of the Pentecostal people. When it's going their way, everything's all right. And then you rub it back the other way. But I think we've got some of those Pentecostal cats slipped into the message around here somewhere. Oh, when you're preaching prosperity and all is well and oh my, God bless you and God loves you and God doesn't care, you know, they like that. But you start getting into their territory a little bit, right down where they're living, they don't like that very much. But they came down, they told Micah, they said, now listen, if you'll just, there's 400 of these anointed men and they're all saying this one thing. If you'll just say this, no doubt the king will bless you. And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, I won't say anything but what the Lord puts in my mouth. Brother Bram said, we need some more Micahs. We need some more people that won't compromise with the world because of popular opinions and things that they won't sway. Well, the word says this, but everybody else is going this direction. I think we need some more Micahs, the son of Imla, tonight and around the message. And so he comes up and he begins to prophesy. He said, go on up, just go on up. And Ahab said, oh my, he said, how many times do I have to ask you? Tell me what the Lord said. And he said, oh my, he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, there was a prophecy that had went forth years before. Now, Elijah has gone on. They searched all over the mountains for him. They couldn't find him. But Elisha had seen him take a chariot ride up into heaven. And so he's gone on. But yet the words of his prophecy remained. And just as the Bible said that Samuel, when he was a little boy, that the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. When God looked down, he saw Elijah, and he sent Elijah to say this, even though Elijah had already gone and the prophecy hadn't been fulfilled yet, God was going to make this prophecy come to pass. Ahab and Jezebel could do what they want and say what they want, and it didn't matter how many false prophets they gathered around them, the prophecy was going to come to pass. And one day, Brother Bram said it this way. He said, God had a conference, and he brought them up there, and he said, what are we going to do? And this lying spirit came up, said, I'll go down and be a lying spirit in their mouth. Now, Zedekiah, he got a little upset about this, because here Micah, 1 against 400, Brother Branham, he comes and he preaches the Godhead Explained in Chicago, and there he stands against 300 of the Ministerial Association of Chicago, one man against 300. And he said, if I'm wrong, he said, bring your Bibles and show me. He said, show me if I'm wrong on the serpent seed. Show me if I'm wrong on the Godhead. Show me if I'm wrong on the water baptism. He said, bring your Bibles and stand here, somebody, and show me. Yes. 300 to 1. That's right. Not one of them moved. Right. Not one of them moved. We got all kinds of false prophets today moving and saying and typing and doing all kinds of things, but it's because he's not here. If they were here, they'd be scared to death to move, just like those men who were more anointed and smarter and more intelligent, I'm sure, than some of the guys that we've got coming against the message today. All of these men gathered sitting there, rabbis and priests and mighty men of valor, Pentecostal preachers and Baptist preachers and Methodist preachers, and all of them knowing the Bible and knowing their seminaries and knowing their doctrines and knowing all these things. And a little Kentuckian with a seventh grade education said, just show me in your Bible where I'm wrong, and they all sat there and wouldn't budge. And he goes the next night of the Chicago campaign after he preaches this, and he takes his sermon on Micah the prophet. And he said, there he stood against all the Ministerial Association, 400 false prophets. I'm sure they didn't like that too much, but he didn't beat around the bush and hum and haw like some of us do to not offend somebody. But he went straight to it. And then the next service, he preaches the forgotten beatitude. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. I'm sure he got his point across. Sometimes you can just read down through the titles of what he's preaching and get a blessing from just seeing, oh my, well, I see where this is headed. Brother Bram says in Micah the prophet, 1961, he said, now it had been a long time since Elijah had made this prophecy. He'd been in glory long, but he made this prophecy, and he knowed it was coming to pass. And then Micah knew that Elijah was a man of God, and here was God up in heaven holding a council up there, how to bring the word of Elijah to pass. Oh, I like this. He said, and if you've got the word of the Lord and will speak the word of the Lord and don't doubt the word of the Lord, God will hold a council meeting to make your word come to pass. He said, because it's not your word, it's his word. He said, it's his word, if it's thus saith the Lord, if it's truly thus saith the Lord. Now, I believe Brother Layton dealt with that a little bit the Wednesday night that he preached, that, you know, it can't just be us getting worked up in the flesh and say, bless God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to heal so-and-so, and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do that. Brother Bram said, even he couldn't do that. He said, if I could, he said, there laid my own mother dying. He said, if I could go heal anybody, I would heal her. He said, if I could heal anybody, I would go out and heal her. But he said, I can't do it unless he tells me first. Many people ran and they got excited, and Brother Branham called it presuming. They went out and they ventured without authority, and many of them have gotten all kinds of trouble trying to do it. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to cast out that, and I'm going to heal this. You ain't going to do nothing unless he tells you to do it. But if it's really him that's telling you to do it, and God has commissioned you to do something, it don't have to be to raise the dead or heal the sick. Maybe he's commissioned you to be a housewife. Maybe he's commissioned you to be a mother. Maybe he's commissioned you to be a husband, to provide for his family. Whatever God has told you to do, you just put your trust in God and he'll bring it to pass. I don't care how many false prophets or how many demons out of hell try to stop it. If it's truly God working through you, he'll bring it to pass. He'll hold a council meeting to see how he can bring it to pass. And so God is up there and he's bringing this together. Old Zedekiah, he goes out there, he smacks the mic on the mouth. He said, where'd the Spirit of God go from when it left me? He said, you'll find out when you're sitting in the inner cell. The king said, oh, put him down there and don't give him, just give him bread and water. We're going to go out here and fight this battle. They bypassed the word of the Lord. They overrode it for what they thought or what their ideas or their desires were. And here they had the word of 400 false prophets, but yet they failed to listen to one true vindicated prophet. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 37, it says, so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Now, I want to stop there just a moment and tell you, when they went up there on Mount Ramoth Gilead to fight, and Ahab disguises himself and goes into the battle, and the king of Syria sees what he's doing, and he tells his army, he said, don't fight neither with small or great. I don't care if they're a general or a captain or a private or a sergeant or a corporal or whatever it is. He said, you just make sure you kill the king of Israel. And so a man draws his bow and shoots Ahab between the shoulders, and he begins to ride around in his chariot and slump down there, and he eventually dies, and they take him back. Now, there had been this prophecy that we just read that Elijah had said that just as the dogs had licked Naboth's blood, that they were going to lick Elijah's, or not Elijah's, but Ahab's blood. And now Michael the prophet has come up and he's recognized this prophecy. He didn't come up with something new off the top of his head and some new message or some new doctrine or some new dogma, but he looked back to what that original prophet had said, and he knew that God couldn't bless what he had already cursed. And so he says, he begins to prophesy. And Brother Bram said he checked his vision with the word. Oh, I wish we would do that tonight. You may not be a prophet, but whatever your goal, whatever your desire, whatever your motive is, I hope you'll go back and check your vision with the word to make sure that it corresponds and lines up with it properly. If Ahab had done this, he might have lived a little bit longer life, but God had already brought a council meeting together and he was going to get him there one way or the other. He knew that Ahab wouldn't obey what Micah said because he didn't obey what Elijah said. And so he goes down and these men out on Mount Ramoth Gilead look around, soldiers. Maybe some of them were followers of Elijah's message. And they believed that God had sent a prophet. And they looked around that day all over the mountainside. Men everywhere fighting, battle, killing, death. And they see Ahab get struck between the shoulders with this arrow. And he slumps down in his carriage. And one of them leans over and says, oh, I know Hillary's going to get elected and fulfill the prophecy. One of them leans over and says, buddy, he said, as many years as we've served together in this army, he said, I'd be willing to almost bet my mother's life that any moment there's going to be an old collie dog or something come over this hilltop and lick Ahab's blood, because a prophet of God, a vindicated prophet of God, said that it was going to take place. And they looked all around and he began to get discouraged and he began to read some websites and he began to get confused and he didn't see the prophecy come to pass. And he said, oh my, maybe... could it be that he was just a false prophet after all? Because it didn't come to pass the way that he thought it was supposed to come to pass. There wasn't a dog on Mount Ramoth Gilead. Not one dog ran up to the chariot and licked his blood or licked his carcass. And they take him back Maybe a man that's, oh my, he was just a real good solid message believer of Elijah's message, Brother Jimmy. And he says, I'm going to be there and I'm going to see this. I'm going to follow this man's body to the grave. And he walks right beside that chariot and they take him back to Samaria and they take him out of the chariot. And they wash him off and they clean him up and they put him in a casket. And he stands there and he watches the ceremony and he watches them put him in the ground. He said, I didn't see one dog. How could this be? How could this be? The man told a prophecy. Here he was supposed to be a vindicated prophet, called fire down out of heaven, supposedly raised the dead. I mean, I wasn't there, but they supposedly said that there was a widow woman and he raised her from the dead. And they claimed that he had, you know, he had spoke to her and they were almost to starve to death in that drought we had. You remember the one way back when? And oh my, they were about to starve and he spoke to her and said that there'd be cruse in the oil and meal in the barrel. And, you know, I don't have a newspaper article to prove it, but that's what they claimed. But maybe that was just something the people at the church made up. I don't know. Maybe I've been wrong. Maybe I've been in a cult this whole time. And he walks away with his head down, discouraged. Here he was. He walked along and he thought that he believed this. But because it didn't happen the way that he had it figured out in his mind, maybe he'd been in the message 40 or 50 years and just walks away. A failed prophecy. But while they're having this funeral, this one little soldier takes the chariot and drags it back to the pool of Samaria. And he had a dirty job. And he gets out there and he gets him a sponge. And he begins to clean out this chariot. He begins to wipe it out. And he begins to take some water from the pool and begin to slosh it in the chariot and begin to wash it out. And all of a sudden, a few little dogs come and begin to lick the blood from the chariot. Now, maybe only one man saw that, but it was fulfilled nonetheless. I don't have to see a woman president. I don't have to see electric cars out here on the roads driving themselves. I've already seen all that I need to believe that this was a vindicated message. Amen. You don't have to prove it to me anymore. You don't have to bring me any more proof. You don't have to show me any more newspaper articles. I've already seen enough to believe. Amen. Amen. And not only seen pictures and heard eyewitness testimonies, but I've seen what this message is still doing after they already laid him in the grave in 1965. I've still seen the message raise people from the dead. We've got a brother here and many others has been raised from the dead through this same message. Remember, they went by Elisha's grave one time and there was in the middle of a battle. They was too busy to bury the man and they just threw him in. Elijah had been dead and rotten and it just his bones was laying in there. And once that man touched the bones of Elijah, he jumped back up, said, I'm ready to fight some more. I'd like to have been that man that said, I'm the one that's living off of dead men's bones that they talk about. I'm one of those tapeworms. I'm one of those Branhamites they talk about. I'm not a Branhamite, I'm a Jesusite, but they can call me whatever they want. They can call me a holy roller or a tapeworm or a Branhamite or whatever they want. I've gone too far to go back now. Amen. Oh my, can you imagine this one man? And he sits there and he's got this revelation. And maybe he wasn't even a believer. Maybe he didn't go around and put it on the front newspaper. Maybe he didn't go around and proclaim it. He just thought, my, well, that was interesting. But it was fulfilled nonetheless. Whether one man saw it or whether 7,000 saw it, it was fulfilled. Now, when Elijah was in the cave hiding out from Jezebel, as we looked at it last week, and he heard the thunder and the lightning and all those different things, the earthquake, and but yet then he hears a still small voice. When this still small voice comes and he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah said, oh my, I've got such a zeal for the Lord. And he said, but I'm the only one. Everybody else has turned against him. And God said, no, there's 7,000 that still haven't turned a knee to Baal. God tells him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 there. He said, it says, the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Belmon Hollow, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now that Hebrew word there, the phrase in thy room, it's a Hebrew word takath, which means in the place of or instead of. He wants him to anoint Elisha in his place. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Now, I don't want to stumble you here tonight, but two of these three things that God tells him to do, there's not a place in the scripture or a place in the message that ever says that he did this. In fact, scripture almost absolutely makes it look like he did not do these things. And he doesn't actually physically anoint Elisha, but what he does is he goes down, we'll read it in a minute, and he meets Elisha on his road back, and he puts his mantle over top of Elisha. So I was looking at this, and I thought, my, if he directly disobeyed the word of the Lord like Moses did when God told him to speak to the rock and he smote it, then why isn't there any mention of God taking him home early like he did Moses? Or why isn't there any mention of these things if he disobeyed what God told him to? But many times we look at things in the natural and we think, well, God said this, so it's going to be this way, and 1 + 1 = 2, and A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and we get it all figured out, and we think, well, this is what was said, so this must be how it's going to be. We'll look at a few of them in a minute to recognize just because something was said away didn't mean it was exactly the way that it was fulfilled. Many times the Lord said things in a certain way so that people can make their assumptions, and yet he fulfilled it exactly the way that he said he was going to. But if you had been there and sat there and heard it, you would have probably thought the exact same thing some of those people said. When he said, what, well, they were talking about John, and he said, Jesus said, what is it to you if he tarries until he sees the Son coming in his glory? And there went around a doctrine, really is what it was, or a man-made dogma, that said that John wasn't going to die till the second coming of the Lord. I wonder how many people fell away in 1977, when John died on the Isle of Patmos. I wonder how many people fell away when he died in his old age, and they said, but Jesus said. Yes, and it also said, but 6 days later, they went up on Mount Transfiguration, and he saw it in type. And then he goes out on the Isle of Patmos, and he sees this whole vision of the seven church ages, and he sees all these different things, and he sees the marriage of the Lamb and the bride coming. He did see it. He just didn't see it the way they thought he was going to see it. Brother Branham says it this way, in a prophet like unto Moses in 1959, he said, it wasn't David when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was Christ crying through David, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, you understand that? He says again in Discernment of Spirit 1960, he said, look at David in the 23rd Psalm. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As if he was. If David was the man, all they that pass by me shoot their lip out at me. He said he was so anointed with God. He was so perfectly surrendered to God, and the anointing was on him in such a way. And when he cried by the Spirit of God, if somebody had been standing there and say, why, look, he thinks somebody's shooting out their lip at him. Why has God forsaken him? It wasn't David, Brother Branham says. It was the Spirit crying out through David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My bones all stare at me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Well, somebody said, listen to that hypocrite up there. Whose hands is pierced? Whose feet is pierced? That's the intellectual, he says. But one who had discernment of spirit knew that that was the Spirit of God in him crying out. The reason that we've had so many people fall away is because things didn't work out the way that they thought they were going to. Things, the prophecies weren't fulfilled exactly the way that they thought they should be. And many did the same thing down through these ages, when many could have stood there and followed along and seen David's burial and picked up his hands, went to the bottom of the casket, looked at his feet. So they just put him out in the ground out there. His hands weren't pierced. His feet weren't pierced. What's wrong with this man? What is he talking about? But it wasn't David. It was the Spirit speaking through David. Many people, they try to place absolutely everything on Brother Branham. Brother Branham's going to do this, and Brother Branham's going to fulfill that, and all these scriptures and all these quotes and all these things that Brother Branham never said he was going to. But they get it all planned around their ideas, and then they begin to fall away when things don't work out exactly the way they thought. Well, how can this be, and how can that be? And they got confused over 1977. They got confused over the bridge, and they got confused over the cloud, and they got confused over this and over that because it didn't happen the way they thought that it was going to take place. But when David spoke, he wasn't speaking of himself. It was the Spirit speaking through David. I wonder how many times in the message it was God speaking through, speaking of our age. It wasn't even, Brother Branham wasn't even many times speaking. I know he'd say many times, you know, I'm not so much speaking to this audience here. He said, I'm speaking on this tape and this tape will go around the world. But he wasn't even speaking to the people in 1962 or 1965, because most of the current events made clear by prophecy that he was telling us about weren't even going on yet. He said in one place, I can't remember the exact number, but said these tapes are being translated into so many a number of languages. They weren't, but they are now, aren't they, Brother David? See, a prophet looks backwards and he looks forwards, and sometimes he doesn't even know where he's at himself. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. Well, that's what he said. He said he'd be walking down the street and he'd be shaking somebody's hand and he'd think, now is this a vision or am I really shaking this person's hand? And then they want to argue and criticize him because he said it was last year and it was 5 years ago, but they don't know what dimension he was standing in or where he was or what time zone he was in. Elijah never goes out and anoints Hazael. He never goes out and anoints Jehu. But he does go out in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, I don't know if you have any idea what that would be like, but Brother Branham said he must have been a very patient man to be plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And you remember, there had been a famine in the land for many years. And this time that we're looking at right now, Elijah, when he comes and he hears the sound of abundance of rain, and he goes down and he outruns Ahab's chariot, as we looked at last week. Now he comes and Jezebel says, if I don't do the same to him as he had slayed all those prophets of Baal, she said, if I don't do the same to him by tomorrow, so do the Lord unto me. And he runs and he hides in a cave. And God finds him hid back in this cave. And he tells him, now you go and you anoint these three men. And as he's coming out of the cave and he walks down the hill there, he finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And he's down there plowing in this field. Now, Elisha was probably pretty excited because after you've had a famine for 3.5 years, the ground's too hard to plow. You can try to put a plow in it all you want. It's not going to do very much. The water's gone down too far and it's just going to be hard, cracked soil. But now there's been a sound of abundance of rain and the ground is finally soft enough for him to get out there and plow. And he gets out there with these 12 yoke of oxen. He's thinking, oh my, I'm going to plant this harvest and I'm going to bring in this great thing for my family this year. And he's got all these plans and all these ideas. And a prophet of God comes by his way and places his mantle upon him. And he says, can I go and kiss my mommy and my daddy goodbye? He made a real quick decision. Here he was, just a plowboy. Not a lot of experience, not a lot of age. But a prophet of God comes by his way and he doesn't look at the plow and he doesn't look at the inexperience of Elisha, but he looks at the potential that's in Elisha because of what God has just told him. And he comes and he places this mantle upon Elisha and Elisha says, let me go kiss my mommy and daddy goodbye. And he comes back and this was a time when they'd been in famine for 3.5 years and probably about any animal they could find, they was ready to kill and eat it. But he had saved these 12 oxen so that he could plow with. And he comes back, but he decides, I'm not going to need that plow no more. He wasn't turning back. He wasn't leaving anything to go back to. And he kills the yoke of oxen and makes a sacrifice there to the people to let Elijah know, I'm not coming back. I'm not going to be a plowboy anymore. And so Elijah comes and God had told him, anoint Ahaziel as king of, or Hazael rather, as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, or as king of Syria, rather. Anoint Jehu as king of Israel. And he said, and anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy stead. But he gets down and he anoints Elisha as prophet in his stead. And once he's passed the mantle on to Elisha, that we don't see Elijah really doing anything else. Not a lot of miracles, not a lot of things taking place because he passes this mantle to Elisha and now he's anointed him as prophet. He never goes and anoints these other two men, but the spirit that was on him did.
Yes. Come
and God never rebuked him. There's no mention of him sinning and disobeying God's word. There's no mention of God taking his life because of it. Why? Because God wasn't just speaking to Elijah this. God was speaking to the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Elijah did what it was told. The spirit now, Elisha, when he asked for a double portion, it goes upon him. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 11, this man Hazael comes to Elisha and tells him that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, is sick and on his bed, and he's just one of Ben-Hadad's servants. And Elisha tells him, he said, go tell him that he's going to be okay. But he said, really, he's going to die. He won't recover. He won't come off of his bed. And as he tells him this in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 11, it says, and he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. This word in the Amplified, it means Elisha stared steadily at him. He settled his gaze upon him, and he stares at Hazael. And it says, until he was ashamed, it made Hazael uncomfortable. And the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, but what is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? Now, if Elijah had come and anointed him as king, he should have known what Elisha was talking about. But he's just the servant of Ben-Hadad, and he says, who am I to do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets. Now, Jewish history claims that this young prophet that Elisha is speaking to here was Jonah. And Jonah did live in this time frame right after Elijah and through part of Elisha's life up to his death. And then Micah being a prophet there during that same time. And Jonah is the next prophet that goes into ministry after Elisha's death. And it says, the Jewish history claims that it is. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, and Brother Branham doesn't say to be absolutely sure. But Jewish history claims this, that this was Jonah that Elisha was speaking to. Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Now, if Elijah did it, why is Elisha having this young prophet do it the second time? But God told the spirit of Elijah to do it, and it's still getting done. See, we would have been so stumbled by that in that day. You mean, Elijah, that God told you to anoint these two men, and you didn't even do it? It's going to get taken care of. The spirit of Elijah is still going to do it. Then take the box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. Now, after he anoints Jehu as king, he begins to tell Jehu some of the things that he's going to do being king. And Jehu gets into his chariot and begins to ride. And he tells the men there, he said, if you're not with me, just go ahead and try to take word on to Joram and Jezreel. Go ahead and tell him what I'm going to do. But then he jumps in his chariot and he rides just as hard as he can so he can outrun any of the messengers that might go ahead and tell. And it says, Jehu rode in his chariot and went to Jezreel, 2 Kings 9, verse 16, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. Now, Joram at this time was the king of Israel. He was a descendant of Ahab. And Ahaziah was the king of Judah. Now, there wasn't Ahaziah that was a king, that was a son of Ahab as well. But he had already died at this point. He's the one that fell down through the lattice. And he kept sending messengers to Elijah. And Elisha kept calling down fire out of heaven and killing the messengers of Ahaziah. He had already died at this point. This is a different Ahaziah that's the king of Judah. But Jehu is going there to kill Joram because he's one of Ahab's other sons that has taken over. And in verse 22, they look out and they see him coming. And they said, oh my, said the watchman looked, said, it looks like the driving of Jehu. Wonder if some of them could look out and say, oh my, looks like the driving of sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. For they drive fiercely. And it came to pass, verse 22, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the whoredom of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Verse 24, and Jehu drew out a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take him and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. Jehu's going about, and he said, I don't care who believes whether he's a prophet or not. These prophecies are getting fulfilled today. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23. This is a few pages back. This was in B.C. 900. Elijah, after he's prophesied this about Ahab being killed and the dogs licking his blood, he said, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. He's pretty specific. Didn't just say he'd lick her blood, but said, shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Now Jehu has just killed one of his sons and tells him, go cast him in the field of Naboth there. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 10, and the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. Now this is Jehu recounting the vision. It didn't say in the original telling of this that there should be none to bury her. It just said the dog should eat her by the wall of Jezreel. But you mean he comes around now and he adds to the vision and tells us something that we didn't have on this other tape over here? Uh-oh. And adds a little bit more to the picture? Just like Paul did when he told about his conversion three different times, and every time he adds a little bit more to it. I don't think he was just exaggerating. As a brother told me the other day, said, oh, Brother Branham, said a brother told him, said, oh, Brother Branham exaggerated all the time. I thought, uh-oh. But now he says, not only shall they eat her in the portion of Jezreel, but there shall be none to bury her. Now, if you and I had heard this, we would have thought that when she died, there wasn't going to be nobody there to bury her. And we would have probably formed our little doctrine, and we would have started our, you know, nobody to bury Jezebel doctrine. We would have went out and we would have got our group. And somebody else would have said, no, I don't think that's what the prophet meant when he said that. I think it was this. And they would have formed their group. But to read this, it sounds like he says, there shall be none to bury her. Sounds like he's meaning that when she dies, she's going to be by herself and the dogs are going to come eat her and there's not going to be nobody there to bury her. So if that would have been your doctrine, and you would have formed your opinion and started your church and your thing revolving around that doctrine, let's see how that would have worked out. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. And when Jehu come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out the window. And we find Jehu hollers up. And he doesn't care what she looks like and how pretty she is and how well she can quote the scripture. She said, oh, did Nimshi have peace that slayed his master? He said, who's up there that's with me? And three eunuchs come over and they said, we're with you. And he said, throw her down. Yes. And they throw her out of the window, out of this tower. And verse 35, it says, and they went to bury her. He tells them, go bury her because she was a king's daughter. Go bury her. She deserves a royal burial. She was a king's daughter. Now, I thought Elijah said that there would be none to bury her. And here there's three eunuchs and Jehu. But when they got down there, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. There was none left to bury her. They didn't have a body to bury. They didn't bury her. They were going to give her this royal funeral as a king's daughter? And maybe one of the eunuchs could have said, on the way down the steps, I thought Elijah said there'd be none to bury her. And he got down there and he said, well, praise the Lord, he was right.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't happen the way he thought it was going to. Didn't rub his pet doctrine the right way. But the prophecy came to pass nonetheless.
Amen.
Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. Now, they give Brother Branham a hard way to go because he called her Miss Dog Meat. But Jehu said that the prophecy was the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field. And it was. The dogs ate her. In the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 10. Jehu goes on about, and he goes and he sends messengers to the people, and he says, I committed treason against your king. He said, if you have a problem with that, why don't you come down and warn his children and slay me? And they sent him back a letter and said, no, we're with you, Jehu. And he said, well, if you are, send 70 of his sons, kill them and send them to me. And they cut off 70 of his children's heads of Ahab's and sent them to him in baskets. What a Christmas present. He says in verse 10, Jehu, he said, know now that there shall fall into the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, and his kinfolk, and his priests, until he left none of them remaining.
Amen.
This was years after the prophecy.
Yes.
Didn't come to pass maybe many of the ways that people had it figured out, but it came to pass nonetheless.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, I don't have it all figured out. And some of the things I think I have figured out, Brother Dougie, I may have wrong. But if God wants to fulfill it some other way than what I have figured out, I just want it to be fulfilled the way he wants it to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Many times we draw lines in the sand. We say, bless God, it's going to be this way. And bless God, this group over here won't make it unless they believe it my way. I wonder if you'd have been standing there waiting for the dogs to lick the blood on Mount Ramoth-Gilead and got discouraged. I wonder if you'd have been there looking around wondering why there was three eunuchs there to bury Jezebel when there wasn't supposed to be none left for her to bury, or none for her to be buried. And you would have thought, this just doesn't make sense. I've been taught, my pastor's taught me all these years, and my daddy and my mommy, they believed it this way. And I'm so confused because this hasn't been fulfilled the way that I thought it would be fulfilled. Didn't change the message.
Amen.
Didn't change the vindication. Didn't change the anointing on the prophet. It still came to pass. But it didn't come to pass maybe the way they thought. I don't know how some of these things will be fulfilled. Some of them, to be honest with you, I think many of them are already fulfilled. I'm not looking for a woman president really anymore. I believe we'll probably have one just because society wants one. But I'm not dependent on that to prove to me whether Brother Branham was a prophet or not. Because he said it could be the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church has already had the majority for years in the Senate, or in the Supreme Court rather. In the Supreme Court, she's making the laws of our land already. He said we had one Catholic president, no doubt we'll have another. This last race, almost all of them was Catholic, and a Catholic didn't get it. But I didn't burn my message books over it. Because I wasn't dependent on this election, it being a Catholic president or a woman president, to ground my faith in the message. My faith's already grounded in the message. I'm not waiting on Google or Mercedes or anybody else to put out the electric car. Brother Branham said way back there, he wasn't even waiting for that vision to be fulfilled.
Amen.
He said of all seven of them, the only one he was really looking for was at one place, I think it's in 1962, he said, there's one vision that I know of that hasn't been fulfilled. He said, that's the earth being completely burnt over.
Right.
You mean he wasn't looking for a woman president or a car? He said they had already had the car. They was just waiting for roads for it to be built on. Many times we wait for this and we wait for this and that, and we've got it all figured out. It's going to be this way. It's going to be that way. And then it doesn't happen the way we thought it was. Brother Gene got up in Boynton Beach when I preached there in Florida, And he had to kind of calm his people down and assure them that, you know, it was okay that Hillary didn't get elected as president, you know, that Brother Branham had said all these other things and kind of explained it. And I got up after him. I thought, goodness, if that shook their faith, I'll really shake their faith. I said, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but I said, there's absolutely no way that Hillary could have fulfilled that prophecy, even if she had been elected. And they sat there and looked at me. I said, Brother Branham said it would be a beautiful woman. Absolutely impossible for her to fulfill it. There's not enough max factor in the world. I'm glad God has a sense of humor. I'm glad he has surrounded me by some people that do too, that have grace for me, like Brother Hoover and Brother Layton. Oh my, God's good, isn't he? I'm not waiting on anything to prove this to me. I've already seen it proved over and over and over again. And people could have walked away because Jezebel didn't happen the way they thought, or Ahab's death didn't happen the way they thought, or Jehu didn't get anointed the way they thought it was going to be, or Hazael didn't get anointed the way they thought it was going to be, and they could have just gave up and walked away. But God's word was fulfilled nonetheless. Amen. It didn't matter. Paul said, what if some didn't believe? He said, would that hinder God? He said, God forbid. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. Had a lot on my pitchfork tonight, but by the grace of God, we got it all in, I think. So we'll pick up on Elijah at least one more last time next week, Lord willing, with the help of the Lord. Then we'll move on to some of these others in this series we've been on Speak the Word. Once Elijah spoke the word, all the demons out of hell couldn't prevent it from taking place. Brother Branham said God even held a conference to make it come to pass. Brother Layton got a text from Brother Yarborough. Said he is asking prayer for his sister. She's fallen and injured herself, and they won't know how bad until tomorrow. So let's just lift her up before the Lord tonight. How many else? I know we had it earlier, but maybe the Lord's placed something else on your heart during the service. How many of you slip up your hand and say, I have a need, or somebody on my heart that I'd like to remember as well? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this word, Lord, that we have. Lord, to have it in scripture form, and then to have it, Lord, not only the written word, but to have the revealed word that you sent us a prophet in this age to make known the mysteries that have been hid up and sealed up. But Lord, you came and you took the book from off the throne and you loosed the seals thereof and you revealed them to a prophet. He revealed them to us, Father. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that we have these assurances in your word. I thank you, Lord, also that we don't only just see it in those forms, but that we can look around in our brothers and sisters and see the living word today as well. Lord, our brother has contacted us and he has a need tonight. His sister has fallen and injured herself, Lord, and they don't know how severe it is, Lord, knowing he went out there to be with her because she's already having some problems, Father. I just ask you to touch her and heal her, Father. Lord, may your perfect will be done in this situation, Lord. May your hand be upon her. May you take away any pain or discomfort, Lord. Give her a complete healing, I pray, Lord Jesus. Lord, not only for her, but for these prayer requests, Lord, that I hold in my hand from tonight. Lord, many different needs. Lord, I think of Brother Ivan, Lord, there with so many broken and fractured places and injuries, Lord, from his fall. I just ask you to be with him. Comfort him, Lord. Heal him. Lord, just give him a good recovery, Father. Lord, so many, Lord, are in need, and so many are hurting, and so many are facing situations and circumstances, Lord. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's physical, maybe it's job-related, maybe it's family-related, maybe it's loss, or maybe it's disappointment, maybe it's discouragement or depression, or maybe it's all kinds of things that Satan's trying to bombard them with, Father. But I just ask you to give strength and encouragement again to your people tonight. Lord, may some of the words that were spoken here tonight, may it just give them some extra strength for the journey, Lord, as we was able to look into the quotes and the scriptures and see, Lord, that when you speak something, Lord, you finish it, Lord. You bring it to pass. You don't begin a good work not to finish it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you always keep your word. Lord, maybe even unintentionally, many times, Lord, we would say that we would be a place or do something and circumstances come up or emergencies and hinder us, Lord. But whenever you speak, you always honor your word. You're not ashamed to back up your word. Lord, I just ask you to come on the scene again tonight for your people, Lord. Lord, may their faith just be anchored and grounded in your word, and may you just bless them with the promises that are in your word. We're a needy people, Father, but Lord, we know that you know all about each need, and you know just how to minister to each one, Father. We thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. We just want to take some time to worship you tonight, Father, and we just love you and appreciate you. During this Thanksgiving season, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, when we look around, we see our families sitting in church, and roof over our head, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food on our table. Lord, there's so many that aren't nearly as blessed as we are. Father, help us never to take our blessings for granted, Lord. We're so blessed tonight. We're so thankful. Even though we're unworthy, Lord, yet we're thankful. We love you, Jesus. Let's just sing this together tonight. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. Oh, all of and earth adore him. His people bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Let's just stand and worship him together tonight. Oh, what a mighty God. Yes, what a mighty God I know he is. All of heaven and earth adore him. His people bow before him. Oh, love you tonight, Father. Yes, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Lord, what a mighty God I know he is.
Love.
just live for today. Well, I'm following Jesus each step of the way. Amen.
Help me try to sing this tonight.
Well, I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm pressing on to the high.
more changes soon at hand. A few more days of trouble, and we'll be in that land. That same Lord Jesus that kept you by his power, he'll send down your theophany by his resurrection. Yes, Lord, we're amen. Oh, we're pressing on. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of mine. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, we're pressing on. We're pressing.
To the high.